Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tapper Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Department of Higher Education here at Car Talk Plaza.
Yeah,
everyone actually knows how interested we are in education.
We are, and we happen. Yeah, okay. I won't. I won't give it any preview. I'll just read it to you. It's just a letter.
Okay.
It's from Jorge Angulo. Dear Click and Clack, I recently moved to Central Square in Cambridge, our fair city. And this happened while shopping at a Shaw's near home. Shaw's is a supermarket. I was in the 10 items or less line, holding a basket with obviously less than 10 items in it. The young man in front of me had a basket piled high with much more than this limit. So the girl at the register takes a long look at him and says, "You must attend either Harvard or MIT. The guy says, "Wow, how did you know that?" Without missing a beat, the girl replies, "Because this is a 10 items or less line, and you either go to MIT and you can't read, or you go to Harvard and you can't count."
That's true. That's cute.
Well, thanks, Jorge. That made my day.
Well, if you want some answers that don't count, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Annalise calling from Purchase, New York.
Anna?
Annalisa.
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 Yes.
One word?
All one word.
No kidding.
From Purchase.
From Purchase. I'm not actually originally from Purchase, New York. I'm from Logan, Utah, but I go to school out here.
Okay.
What's in Purchase, New York?
School, Purchase College.
Purchase College?
Yeah. Yep.
They teach you how to buy stuff.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, my wife went there.
So, Annalisa, what can we do for you?
All right. I drive a 1984 Honda Prelude, and I bought it for $1, and I drove it here from Utah.
No, and you made it?
You made it.
I made it. And so this car has to last me until I graduate.
Are you kidding? You already got 10,000 times more than your money's worth out of it.
I know. That's what everyone says. They say, buy a new car. And I say, no, it has to last me till May this year.
Oh, just okay.
Oh, we can do it.
Piece of cake. Go ahead.
So what's going on is when I'm idling, the car, it rests at 1,000. It's a stick shift. It rests at 1,000 RPMs, and it'll fall below that.
Okay.
And then jump back up.
To what?
Just to one. So it's kind of lugging and dropping down. It also did that at 60 miles an hour, which is a little bit frightening because I'm driving along and the car starts lugging and shaking, and then I look down and the RPMs are at zero. So
And then without your touching anything, it'll come back to whatever it was.
Exactly, yes. Yep, it's also having a hard time turning over. It'll catch, but it won't turn over sometimes, and it also stalls out occasionally. And I'm good with the stick shift. I'm good with the clutch.
Yeah.
Now, in May, when you graduate,
right,
are you planning to drive this thing back to, what, Utah, you said?
No, I might try and sell it to another poor soul. I don't know.
For $1,500.
And it's got just shy of 200,000 miles on it.
Well, that's a selling point in itself.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if it had 170,000, it wouldn't be meaningful. But at 200,000, you'd say, hey, look, you know,
this thing is going to last forever.
It is.
If it lasted this long, it's going to last forever. Assuming you can fix this problem. If I'm not mistaken, this thing has a carburetor on it.
I think it is. It's not fuel injected, though, of course.
This is carbureted. And these carburetors are very complicated, and so is the emission control system associated with this. In fact, this car had, unfortunately, more vacuum hoses and more emission control little relays and solenoids and God knows what else. And it's not going to be something that you're going to figure out yourself.
It's at the mechanic right now, and he can't figure it out. It's been there for 3 days.
Uh-huh.
But I tell you, it's very likely that it's flooding.
Uh-huh.
And that would make the RPM go down because it floods, and it's putting in so much extra gasoline that it's putting out the spark plugs.
Okay.
And then it stops flooding for a few seconds, and the RPM comes up, and it runs normally because the fuel-air mixture is correct.
Uh-huh.
But he's going to have to figure out, and the way we used to determine this primarily is by using the emissions tester and watching the emissions go cuckoo when it misbehaves. I mean, it could certainly be an ignition problem, too. You could have a weak spark because you have a weak coil or something like that. But
that's what I thought it was.
But he's going to have to isolate one or the other. And he's going to have to see if, in fact, the spark is getting weak. He can do that with his oscilloscope if he has one, or he can use the old method that we use with my brother, but having Tommy stick his tongue out and putting the coil wire on his tongue. And that worked as
that
well
works.
As anything.
That works.
How old? Wait a minute. How old is this guy who's working on this car?
Oh, I am middle-aged. I've been going to this mechanic since I've been here.
Is he 50?
Not quite that old.
He might not be old enough.
I think
50 is, you got to look for someone who's 50 years old.
Okay.
Who has had the experience. And we used to work on these all the time because they did have these kinds of problems.
So are you over 50?
Talking to me?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, as a matter of fact.
Woo! I wonder, is that what I'm going to look like when I get to 50?
But you're gonna find someone who's over 50 but still has some brain cells left.
Right.
So... But I think if this guy isn't familiar with Hondas, I think instead of taking it to the dealer, you might have to find someone in town that's a Honda specialist.
So what happens if I don't get this fixed?
Well, eventually...
No, you're going to get killed.
You're going to get stuck.
All right, so maybe I should just tell my dad I need a new car.
But let's look at the straight economics of it. Let's say that you spend some amount of money to get this fixed.
Right.
$300.
Right.
Right? And it does get fixed, and it lasts until May.
Right.
In May, your folks are going to get you a new car for graduation. They're going to get
you
an Audi TT. We know it. Well, they called us, and they asked us what we thought you would like. So if they're going to buy you a new car then, why not buy it now? Because this $300 that you spent... listen to this now. The $300 you spent to fix this thing is probably... not going to be the end of the line. It may be that next month you spend another $200 or $300 to fix the next thing that breaks, and then you're never going to sell it for enough to recoup that money. So you're essentially throwing money down the drain.
Exactly.
This is exactly the equivalent situation that happens to my brother every time he fills up his gas tank.
Well, I really hope my father's listening right now.
I think so.
I hope so.
Well, he was. He just talked to us, and we told him the Audi TT is for you. See you later.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, fellas. This is Ethan calling you from Missoula, Montana.
Hi, Ethan from Missoula. What's going on, man?
Well, you guys, I have an ethics question dealing with selling my Chevy Blazer. I was driving across the country about 2 years ago, and it was struck by lightning.
Really?
And
were you in it?
I was going about 70 miles an hour across Iowa at 2 in the morning.
How exciting was it?
It was something else. My hair was standing up for a couple hours.
Did it damage the truck at all?
Well, only electronically. I headed into a dealer for about 2 days in Council Bluffs, and they went through and took out anything electronic and put in brand new stuff. And since then, I haven't had any problems. So my question is, now that I'm selling this truck, is this something that I should be telling prospective buyers, or I have...
Absolutely. You couldn't have a better selling point than this. They've been hit by lightning. First of all, the chances of it being hit again, it's been like pre-disastered.
That's right. What a deal.
Yes, it's already been hit by lightning. That's not going to happen to you.
You could put an ad in any paper and you'd get 500 phone calls. People are looking for cars that are already disastered.
So you don't think that it would scare off potential buyers to say that everything electronic was fried a couple years ago?
No,
I would advertise that I have all new electronics.
Right. Leave out that little detail.
People say, why do you have all new electronics? Well, every 15 years, I always replace everything electronic.
Well, no, then you could use
the electrons are all worn out.
You could use the mumbling technique. You say, yes, I have replaced the computer and the ignition module and all that. Why do you do that? Just drive my light. Excuse me? I'm sorry, Lightning.
Well, I feel a lot better about
but
that.
When the thing got hit, did the tires blow too?
You know, the tires remained intact. I don't know if I got hit directly or if it hit the pavement and, you know, then got my axle. But whatever it was, there was a blinding flash, a deafening crash, and then everything went dead and dark.
Did you find yourself naked in an alien spaceship after this?
Yeah, did you?
And what did they do to you?
That won't be disclosed.
But you didn't suffer any kind of physical harm.
His hair was up for 2 days.
No.
You could have been hit by lightning.
I get hit every couple of days.
No, nothing long term, luckily.
Oh, that's good.
So it must have been a mini bolt, because I've heard of people whose cars have been hit. Where the tires just explode.
Yeah, that I've heard of that too, and I tell you guys, I'm thankful that it worked out the way it did. It could have been a heck of a lot worse.
But I think you have to fess up. I mean, I think it would be a selling point.
All right.
I think people would be honored to own a truck.
Well, you can test it out. Someone comes to see the truck, they drive it around, they say, "I love it." And you say, "Well, you love it. You're going to love it even more when I tell you this." And if they say, "Oh, thanks very much," and they leave, don't tell the next person.
Right. There you go.
Sounds like a perfect litmus test. And hey, just in case you guys are curious, it is covered by insurance when you're struck by lightning. It's under the Act of God clause. So.
Well, what's insurance?
A good one, I guess.
See, Ethan.
See you guys. Thanks a lot.
Thanks,
oh, man.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Amy. I'm calling from Durham, North Carolina.
Hi, yeah. Amy from Durham. What's up?
I drive a 99 Ford Escort, and I think my gas gauge might be broken. What I'm wondering is, can I still rely on that little red refuel light that comes on, or is the gas gauge and the refuel light connected, so once one's gone, they're all gone?
Well, why do you think your gas gauge is not working?
I'm a little anal about my gas mileage. And ever since I've owned the car, I reset my little mileage counter every time I refuel. And it's like always been 245, 250, and then I refuel. And I was out a couple weeks ago, and I glanced down, and my tank said it was half full. And I thought, well, that's funny. It's been a while since I got gas. So I looked at the mileage, and I'd gone 200 miles. And so I thought, okay, something's up here. And I just went ahead and refueled around 240, and it took, you know, a full tank, even though it said it still had
a third
of a tank.
Well, that's good. So you've corroborated the fact that
your gas gauge is not working.
Exactly. And that's happened a few more times since then.
Yeah.
Now, the question is, does the little red light still work?
Exactly, because, you know, I don't want to be running out of gas and my husband laughing at me and all that stuff. I just want to know.
I don't think the little light is working.
Okay.
Well, I think it probably is, but there's only one way to find out.
Yeah, but that's a risky way.
Oh, come on, Eric.
No,
hey,
no.
Come on, Amy. Walk on the wild side.
You get yourself an old bleach bottle.
Okay.
And you fill it full of gasoline and leave it right in the front seat next to you.
Yeah.
and don't put any cover on it.
Okay.
And smoke a cigar, too, while you're at it.
I mean, smoke a cigar.
You might as well make it exciting.
Yeah, really walk on the wild side. You guys don't mess around.
No, get yourself, well, you can do it a lot of different ways. You can get yourself a gas can, obviously, and put it in the trunk and drive around with a gallon or two of gas in the thing.
And prop it up so it won't tip over.
Yeah.
Okay.
And or you can, if you restricted your driving to, because you know when it gets to 245 or 250 that you're down to typically what, a quarter of a tank?
Yeah, I mean, you know, a gallon, whatever's kind of left in your tank. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're gonna know when you're gonna be out.
Pretty much.
So when you do get to that point, you could just make sure that you restrict your driving to an area where you know there are plenty of gas stations. Don't forget, when the light comes on, it usually means that you have another gallon or so left.
Okay. So I have a while left even at that point.
You have you have 20 miles at least, the very least left, if not more.
Okay.
So you don't even have to carry the can of gasoline around unless you're planning to go someplace.
In the boonies.
In the boonies.
No, no,
exactly.
But the only reason you really need it is what if the light doesn't work?
Oh,
well, but you're going to know within 20 miles.
That's true. So when I hit like 240 and then I know I've got 20 miles, either the light comes on or get to a gas station.
No, maybe not. Now, the more I think about it, you might want to take the gas with you.
Okay.
Because
of course.
If you really, really, really want to be sure.
You have to run out of gas.
You have to wait till the light comes on.
Okay, I'm with you. So I have to run out of gas. Got you.
You don't have to run out, but you've got to wait till the light comes on or you run out.
Right. Okay.
Of course, if we were wizards, we would be able to tell you whether the light will still work or not.
Well,
that's what you were hoping.
I was hoping.
I was hoping for that, too.
Well, we see a lot of cars in the shop whose gas gauges have stopped working correctly, and yet the light works. And for example, it could be that the gauge on your dash is malfunctioning.
Okay.
And if that's the case, then the light will still work.
Okay.
Because what's sending the signal to the light is the thing that's in the tank.
Okay.
And that may be okay.
Okay.
If, on the other hand, let's say, for example, that something happened to your tank, like maybe someone else drove the car, like your husband, and backed over a tree stump.
I hope not. And,
well, of course, if he did, he wouldn't tell you. But in doing so...
And if you did, you wouldn't tell him.
But if I wouldn't tell you guys.
But if that happened and somebody caved in the tank, then it's possible now that the float can't ever descend below the point that would make the gauge read half or less. All right.
Okay.
And if that's the case, then the light isn't going to come on because now you have impaired the operation of the float mechanism.
So theoretically, if I recently had backed over a curb, that might
just
explain
hypothetically.
Exactly. Hypothetically.
Okay. Just, you know. Just a theory.
Oh, it's a curb now.
No, it's a curb. Whatever. Well, hypothetically, it could be anything.
Okay.
So you might want to look on the underside of the car and see if you can notice any area
dents.
with the dents. Yeah.
Where there's some damage. Okay.
And if that's not the case, then our suggestion about driving around with a gas can is probably okay. And a gallon of gas is more than enough.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can do that.
And be careful. Gasoline is dangerous stuff.
Yeah, yeah. This coming from the guys who live on the wild side.
Right.
Yeah. Even we know that it's dangerous stuff.
See you, Amy.
Thanks so much.
Good luck.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Okay, Tommy, it's time for your weekly puzzler hit. You ready?
Hit me.
Gladly. But first, let me give you the hint. Fill in the blank. When we were kids and riding in the car on the holidays, we used to sing Over the River and Through the Woods to blank.
Over the river and through the woods to get rid of that bundle Uncle Nunzio hid in the trunk.
Well, that was one verse, but the other was over the river and through the woods to grandma's house.
To grandmother's house we go, yeah.
Right, to grandma's house we go. The puzzle was about driving to grandma's house, and we'll be back with the answer in just a minute.
I got the car seat facing backwards blues. I can't see the same things as you. In fact, I can't see nothing from this point of view. It's boring, but what can I do? You say it's for my safety. Well, I don't know, maybe the car seat facing the wrong way blues.
And even though hearing aid salesmen are consumed by guilt whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if your cable box broke and you can't watch anything other than C-SPAN.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly. Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler.
I just came up with a good name for my brother, Dr. Obfuscation. I like it.
Anyway, this was one in our inexhaustible series of mathematical puzzlers.
Yes.
And it bears a striking resemblance to lots of the other mathematical puzzlers we use lately, but a little different, just with a twist. Anyway, there was this young gal who had had a couple of pretty bad accidents, so her grandmother gives her a large sum of money with which to buy a brand new Volvo, a nice, safe car.
Mm.
The only condition is that when she gets the car, Grandma wants to see it to make sure that she didn't run out and buy a Firebird. So on the first available Saturday, she drives to Grandma's house, which is 120 miles away.
I'm going to need a pencil here. 120 miles, yeah.
Okay, and of course, I'll mention that these kinds of puzzlers always assume that she lives right on the highway, and so does Grandma. There's no time lost accelerating,
And this constant speed, you start from 60 miles an hour.
You just boom, go.
There's no acceleration necessary.
Anyway, because she's not particularly eager to get there, she sets the cruise control for 40 miles an hour and drives the 120 miles to Grandma's house. In fact, the car even has one of those little trip computers that has a little display that says, your average speed is 40 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Now, she doesn't want to spend too much time with the old grandma because she'll start asking about her boyfriends and all that stuff. So she hangs around for a while, shows grandma the car, and leaves.
Mm-hmm.
On the way back, she sets the cruise control for 60 miles per hour.
Yeah.
She travels the same road, the same 120 miles, and when she gets home, she does a little figuring. She says, let me see, I drove 120 miles up and 120 miles back, so that's 240 miles. And 40 miles an hour and 60 miles an hour on the way back, my average speed was 50 miles an hour. So it should have taken me 4.8 hours, right?
Mm.
240 divided by 50, which is the average speed, and it comes out to 4.8.
Oh.
But it took 5 hours.
Really?
How can that be?
He did. 3 and 2 is 5.
3 and 2 is 5. How can it be? Well, it can be.
Yes, Dr. Obfuscation.
Because she didn't calculate the average speed. She calculated the average of the speeds.
Yeah, a common mistake.
Which is and in fact, her average speed is not 50 miles an hour, but it's really 48 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And you arrive at that by calculating the total distance divided by the total time, the total distance being 240 miles. And the total time, we already know.
So it's 240 divided by 5 hours.
Which comes out
48 miles an hour.
48 miles per hour. It becomes even more graphic. I mean, if you made this miscalculation, you would attribute the missing 12 minutes to who knows.
Yeah. I mean,
but let's say you took a trip of, to make it more graphic, of 700 miles, and you traveled the first leg at 70 miles an hour, and you traveled this, on the way back, you did the same 700 miles, and you did this return trip at 10 miles an hour.
That would make a big difference.
It would look like using
average
your,
speed is 80.
The average speed
I mean,
is 40. Is 40. But it turns out that when you do the arithmetic, the average speed is something like 18 miles an hour. And the reason the average is so low is the 10 miles an hour is dragging you down. You're doing that for a lot longer than you're doing 70 miles an hour. Yeah.
The average speed is not the average of the speeds.
Indeed.
And you learn this in the fifth grade.
Maybe.
Maybe eighth grade.
Maybe.
And then you forgot it when? Eighth grade. That's when I forgot it.
Anyway, who's our winner?
The winner is Herbert Nelson from Chicago, Illinois. And for having his answer selected at random from among all those answers that we got, Herbert's going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division, which is at cartalk.com.
Herbert Nelson's in eighth grade, by the way.
Yeah,
but it's early in the year. He hasn't forgotten it yet.
Yeah. If this were June, forget it. Hey, Herbert, with that gift certificate, you can get a copy of one of our CDs.
Oh, indeed. Anyway, we will have a brand new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show, so stay tuned for that. In the meantime, if you have a question or questions about your car or anything, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, my name is Ben, and I'm calling from Austin, Texas.
Hey,
Ben. How are you?
What's cooking, man?
Oh, not a lot. I think my car's cooking.
Oh, yeah? That's bad.
Well, let me describe the sound to you. I guess that's how we normally start these calls, huh?
Exactly.
You got a sound, yeah.
The best way I can describe it is probably like some small pebbles being swept across each other in like a shallow surf, you know, kind of a slow popping, grinding sound.
Okay.
When I first heard it, I thought maybe there were some loose marbles in the side panel on the right door. So I leaned over and I checked there, and there was nothing sort of rolling around, and I figured, well, I'll try it again. So when I, you know, put it back into drive and went forward, it made the same noise, and it does it especially loud when I'm turning, and it only does it in a forward gear. I should say it's an automatic 2000 Z71 Chevy Silverado.
Jeez. Chevy Silverado.
If that matters.
Everything matters.
Everything matters.
Especially when you don't have the faintest idea.
As a side note, it seems to go away when I turn up the radio. So that's been my solution thus far.
So let me get it straight. This happens when you start off from a dead stop or any time you...
From a dead stop.
From a dead stop, and the noise is definitely coming from your right.
From the right front tire or wheel.
It just sounds like...
This isn't a four-wheel drive truck, is it?
It is.
Make the sound, will you, Ben?
Okay, yeah, it's kind of like a... but a little more popping, sort of... Something like that.
And you don't hear it once you're in motion.
No, once I've picked up enough speed, maybe 10 or 15 miles an hour, it seems to go away. Now, I don't know if that's just the noise of the car.
And does the sound last as long as you just made it last when you made the sound?
Maybe a little longer. Maybe about 4 to 7 seconds, I'd say.
4 to 7 seconds.
Okay, I think... this is a classic case of...
Be careful here. Classic case.
Of tread separation on your right front tire.
Huh. Tires are relatively new.
That's all the more reason.
Okay.
It's those tried and true tires that wouldn't... But here's my suggestion. Swap the two front tires, left to right. And I'm going to guess that...
The sound will move to the left.
Well, it may go away entirely.
Okay.
But Ben, before you, well, if you're really a man of science, what do you do for a living, Ben?
I'm in sales.
All right, just buy a new tire. You'll be all set. But I think it's, I mean, it could be a lot of other things, obviously. It could be a wheel bearing. It could be a grease seal that's going. But I think you're getting squirm from this tire, and you're really going to notice it, and you wouldn't feel it, but you'll really hear it when you're just starting off.
Have you ever noticed when the sound is occurring that the steering wheel shakes just a little teeny bit?
I haven't noticed, but again, you know, I wasn't really looking for it.
Well, do this test. Drive down a nice, smooth road.
Okay.
Very slowly, maybe 5 miles an hour. You might have to change the speed. You can go up to 10 or 15. But creep along, but don't hold the steering wheel except
your fingertips.
Just by your fingertips. And you may see the wheel just every rotation of the tire just jerk one way, left or right, just for a split second. Doop, 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 doop. And that would indicate you have a bad tire.
Fair enough.
See you, Ben.
Good luck, Ben.
Hey, thanks, guys.
All right, bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Linda. I'm calling from Lake Wampalpak in the Pocono Mountains in northeast Pennsylvania.
Hi, Linda.
How
Lake
are you?
Something or other in Pennsylvania.
Yes, Lake Wampalpak.
Yeah, we got it.
I spelled it right out here. Yeah,
sure,
yeah, Lake Powell in the Outback. I think
you got it.
Okay.
What's up?
Well, when I was traveling with my family out to Fargo, North Dakota, we had a Suburban, a 94 Suburban, and it burned up on the interstate. We closed the interstate.
Burned up? I mean, literally burned?
Burned.
Burst into flames?
The Fargo Fire Company came, and there was just nothing left.
Oh, man.
But anyhow, we bought a new used Suburban out in Fargo from this Fargo farmer. And
did you have a good laugh when the thing burned up?
Well, you know, it wasn't all that bad. It made it an adventure.
You'll never forget this trip.
Chevy Chase rollover. I mean, you've got a better story than him. But the strange thing, and why I'm calling, is that the car starts and stops itself, and has for 2 years.
As you're driving, it'll just shut off?
No. Usually, I'm a teacher, and I've had people come into the school and say, Linda, your car's running. And I said, yeah, I know. It does it all the time.
Oh.
And it'll stop 10 minutes later. Or else early in the morning, I'll look out the window at 5:30, the car's on, the lights are on, it's rolling. So what do I do? What did this Fargo farmer sell me?
This thing starts up all by itself.
All by itself.
The key is in your pocket.
My key is usually in my pocketbook. Just now, I will tell you, there was a remote control starting
I knew
gadget,
it.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know where it is, and I mean, it's probably in the couch cushion somewhere, and it didn't have any batteries. So there is that, but it doesn't work, so...
Oh, yes, it does.
Well, it does work. The receiver part of it is working. I mean, you can certainly disable it.
Well, it has no batteries.
No. The thing has a battery. It's the one under the hood.
Oh, that battery.
You have two pieces. You have the transmitter.
Right.
Which is the thing you'd click from the bathroom.
Right.
So you're in
this guy used to use it when he was getting... He'd get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and he'd click the thing, and it was 40 below in Fargo.
Yeah.
And he'd get the thing all warmed up. So you had get some heat when you get out there.
That's right.
Yeah.
And in northeast PA, we don't need it quite that much. But
no, especially in the middle of the day.
Not 4 o'clock when the kids are getting out of school.
Well, I mean, someone has to look under the hood and find the pieces of this thing. I mean, it could well be that somebody opens his garage door and starts your truck.
Could that do it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unlikely, but... It's not impossible.
But when you're grasping for an answer like we are, then it's
you're
at the top of the list.
Here, huh?
Well, something is triggering the remote starter.
So anything could be triggering this.
Yeah, I mean, who knows what it is?
Yeah, any kind of radio.
It would be interesting to find out.
Any kind of radio interference, a cell phone. I bet you the places that it happens are the same all the time.
It's usually my driveway around... When I look out the window and dawn's early light, it's on.
And what time does your neighbor leave for work?
Oh, we don't have neighbors.
My brother doesn't either.
All my neighbors moved out. I don't know why.
No, nobody lives very close to me.
Nobody lives very close.
No.
Yeah, I mean, the thing could be malfunctioning to the... And this is maybe why the farmer sold it. It was waking the hogs up. I mean, it may be that it's just defective and it's just turning itself on.
Yeah.
So I think you need to just disconnect it. Take it to a shop and tell them to find the thing and disconnect. There are two wires that you need to disconnect, and that will disable
it. And that will do
thing.
It.
And that will solve my problem.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
See you, Linda.
See you, Linda.
Thank
that
you very
was
much.
Easy.
Well, thank you for your time.
Thanks for calling.
Bye now.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Kendall calling from Lafayette, Louisiana.
Kendall.
Hi, yeah. I have a 92 Mazda Protege, and for the last couple of years, it seems like the headlights have been getting progressively dimmer. It's been pretty gradual, but my passengers notice it a lot. The alternator, the battery checkout, you know, I've replaced the headlights.
You replaced the headlight bulbs?
The bulbs, yes.
This car has halogen bulbs that plug into the back.
Correct.
Of the headlight.
Yes.
And they cost $25 a piece.
Well, not quite, but they're not cheap.
So how do you know that the headlights are dimmer?
At first, I didn't notice because it was so gradual. But I noticed a lot of my passengers would insist that I didn't have my headlights on, that it was just way too dim in front of the car. And
Notice they're holding on to the dashboard while you were driving?
Yeah, there's a lot of praying. Some rosaries get produced. And then in the last year or so, I've noticed that when I'll rent a rental car and drive a car with good headlights and then go back to my car, I realize these are really insufficient.
When was your last accident?
I was rear-ended about 4 years ago, but it wasn't very serious.
Rear-ended?
Yes.
Well, I think you need a good front-end accident.
Okay. I'll see what I can do. I'm bound to have one at this rate.
Yeah, exactly.
How bad is the rust on this car?
It's not there is none.
All right. Here's what he's
giving us lousy answers. I think I know.
But I won't let that stop me.
No, I think you should jump right in because we know what it is. It can only be one of two things.
Okay.
One of them is there's a bad ground, and the other one is that you're nuts.
Oh, no, I have two other answers.
You have two more. There are four possible things. Go ahead. What are your two?
One is that the headlights, believe it or not, are misaligned.
Okay.
And if your headlights, for example, are pointing down at the ground, it's pretty tough to see where you're going.
I
eliminated that possibility because I assumed, and this may be wrong, that Louisiana has an inspection at which time they check the headlight.
No, actually, that's correct. And I've checked them myself and tried adjusting them and have received small benefits from that. But
okay, here's my fallback position.
Cool,
okay.
Man.
You know, fallback, spring ahead. Did we just do that?
Yeah.
You have over 100,000 miles in this thing.
Yes.
And the headlights, which are plastic,
mm-hmm.
are all scratched.
Scratched. I like that one.
Because remember the old days when you had a headlight that was made out of glass?
Mm-hmm.
And the headlight blew. You went and replaced the entire thing. It was called a sealed beam.
Right.
And you would take out this thing that weighed about 22 pounds, and you would throw it away, and you'd plug another one in.
It only cost $3, though.
And it cost $3. And in doing so, you would get a new filament, which allowed the light to work, but you'd also get
new lenses.
Now, your headlight blows out. You plug in that $15 bulb in the back, but the piece of plastic in the front through which the light has to shine doesn't ever get replaced unless you have an accident.
You'd be surprised at what a difference it makes to replace that lens. Go buy a new lens, buy two, but put one of them in and then turn on the headlights. And I think you'll see a fantastic difference.
Yeah, you'll only be able to buy one at a time because they're like $1,000 a piece.
But, and if you don't see a fantastic difference,
don't buy the other one.
don't buy the other one and start looking for a bad ground.
But we see this a lot in cars. And it's unfortunate that, in some cars, those stupid things do cost many hundreds of dollars.
Well, thanks a lot, guys. That sounds like you're really onto something. I'm going to give it a try.
Yeah, well, we try.
The best of luck to you, Kendall.
See you, man.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. All right, look, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, I'm going to have a brand-new puzzler for you.
Good, and this week I'm going to remember it. You know how?
How?
During the break, I'm going to purge my brain of some older memories so I can make room for the new puzzler.
You are, huh? Well, would you mind waiting until I'm out of the studio before purging that thing? I'm wearing a nice shirt today.
We'll be back with a brand new puzzler and more of your calls in just a minute, so please stay tuned.
My friends all thought I was a little bit batty when I told them I bought me a brand new caddy. 11 miles suggested MPG. But oh boy, think of that luxury. Power brake steering, air condition too. My velvet interior, this baby blue. White walk tires and a color TV.
the RCA dog puts his paws over his ears and howls whenever he hears us say it. This is NPR.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk. Are you awake? You're listening to Car Talk with us. Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
This came
to us about a year or so ago.
Oh, you're right on top of things.
Yeah, this came from a fellow named Doug Veter.
So all summer when you kept telling us that you had no Puzzlers, this one was in your files because it came a year ago. Did we catch you in a little lie here?
No. I just stumbled upon it.
Oh, okay.
I just stumbled upon it.
And it came from whom? I was talking when you were talking.
Doug, well, that's not unusual. Doug Veter. And I had to change it around a little bit and obfuscate, you know.
Of course.
But
of course.
Here it is.
Yeah.
He says, when I was in college, I had my very own house painting business. And it was great because most of the jobs were in the small town where I lived. And if it rained, I got to sleep in. And it was wonderful, except for encountering the occasional hornet's nest and whatever. But near the end of the summer, I got a job 20 miles away. When I drove to the new job on the interstate, my elderly Oldsmobile Delta 88 began howling loudly.
Oh.
The volume and pitch of the noise were directly related to the speed I drove. I pulled over, I opened the hood, I looked around, but I couldn't find anything obviously wrong, so I drove to the job and spent the day scraping with a heavy heart.
How do you scrape with a heavy heart?
Well, a heavy heart and a scraper. When I drove home that night, though, the noise had disappeared, and it didn't come back during the 10 days it took to paint the house. So I actually forgot about it.
Sure, why not?
The day I finished the job, I loaded up my equipment and headed for home with a fat wallet. As soon as I hit the interstate,
the
howling returned.
Got it.
I drove home with a heavy heart and visions of my paycheck being sucked out by the transmission repair shop.
Yeah.
Ah, boy. Anyway, when I had finished unloading my equipment, I realized what the problem was.
Sure.
5 minutes later, I had the problem solved without opening the hood or turning a wrench. The question was, what was causing the problem? Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on the back of a $26 bill and send it to
Yep.
Puzzler Tower,
Got it.
Car Talk Plaza, mm-hmm. Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
But right now, if you have a question about your car or anything else, the number to call is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Oh, by the way, I didn't mention that there are hints in here.
Of course there are.
You know, and
I got them all.
All the information you need
is there.
Is right here.
Absolutely.
I should have mentioned that at the outset.
No. I wouldn't have.
Make him sweat, right?
Make him sweat. Hey, this is $26.
But you got that mean streak, man.
$26 ain't nothing.
No, it ain't nothing.
We go giving away 26 bucks every week. We're going to be a lot of money in the hole at the end of the year.
That's for sure. Anyway, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys, it's Tommy in Plainfield, New Hampshire.
Hi, Tommy in Plainfield.
Where's Plainfield?
On the Connecticut River. I'm staring at Vermont.
Staring at Vermont? Is it near, Dartmouth?
Or... just south of there, yes.
Yeah.
And how is Vermont? Is it moving?
It's beautiful colors. This is fall.
Yeah. Then what happens?
It freezes.
There you go.
In place.
Exactly.
So what's up,
But
Tommy?
It's only for what? Seven
Four months. 5 months.
Yeah, I know. I mean, let's not get carried away. Anyway, what's going on, man?
Well, I have a 1999 Plymouth Voyager.
Okay.
And you guys keep saying, don't go to a transmission place because they'll tell you need a new transmission. But what do you do when you have transmission problems?
Oh.
Last winter, when I would travel and I would drive to Connecticut or something, I would have no problem getting there. But then after the car sat for a while, I would have no drive. I could back up out of my parking spot, but when I put it into drive, I would just get a revving engine.
Oh, and then it was okay when the warmer weather came?
Yeah, so I figured it was fixed. I didn't bother to do anything
about it. That's when you figured you should have sold it.
So, I mean, when this happened, if you waited for how long? How long did you have to wait?
Never more than 5 minutes.
Minutes? Oh. 5 minutes?
Yeah. I mean, I'd go to Park, I'd go to Lowe, I'd go to, you know.
Oh, Tommy.
Well, then it got warm and everything was fine, but now it's starting to happen again and it's not even cold yet.
Any chance you can borrow a car for the winter?
Well, I've got a four-wheel drive pickup for the winter.
Oh, then sell this in July.
But, you know, our admonition about not going to a transmission shop?
Uh-oh.
Doesn't apply here.
Okay. You don't have any choice.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you need a rebuild.
Oh!
I mean, you've obviously done the obvious stuff like checking the fluid level and all that. And
yeah, I mean, I brought it to one of those places that can do that power kind of flush thing.
Yeah, I would save my money. That's not going to help.
Okay.
Well, anyway, enjoy looking at Vermont.
Yeah, you can't avoid it. It's going to cost you a lot of money.
This isn't an all-wheel drive or anything, is it?
No.
Yeah, okay.
There's nothing we can do to help you.
It's going to cost you more than $1,000, though. He just died.
That's to take it out. They always call you with the estimate after they got all the pieces on the floor. That's always the beauty of the transmission business. It's like you go to the doctor. He opens up your chest, takes out a couple of organs, and says, "All right, you want me to do this or not?"
Good luck. It won't be that bad. Trust us.
Okay.
See you later.
Thank you.
Sorry to hear it, Tommy.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Sue, and I'm calling from Arlington, Virginia.
Hi, Sue.
How you doing?
Good, thanks.
What's going on?
Well, the question I have for you is part relationship dilemma and part philosophical conundrum.
Oh, man. This is the kind of question that we get into so much trouble with.
Does it do with the spouse? Relate that kind
I think you'll be safe on this one. The problem is that my boyfriend thinks that I'm a terrible driver. And, you know, he's wonderful. He's supportive in every way. He's just afraid to get in the car with me, basically.
Actually afraid.
The thing is, you know, I admit that it's true. I have a lot of near misses when he's in the car with me. But when he's not around, I'm a perfectly fine driver. And I argue that it's his very presence that distracts me. And so I would like to prove to him that I'm a good driver. But the thing is, I need a way to prove it without him actually being there.
Well, I mean, how many accidents have you had? How long have you been driving, roughly?
Oh, well, now.
10 years or more?
10 years or more, yes.
Okay, that's good enough.
Okay.
How many accidents have you had in those 10 years?
One.
How bad was it?
It was totaled.
You totaled a car? How'd you do that?
Well, it was a wet day, and there were 5 cars that all hit each other in front of me, and I was the 6th car.
Oh, and you were tailgating.
Yeah, not my fault.
Yeah,
if you were tailgating, it was your fault.
Well, but so are the other guys. Yeah, no, those accidents happen all the time because people don't realize they're tailgating until they get written up for it.
Exactly.
How many moving violations have you had in those, let's say, the last 10 years?
Oh, I was hoping we weren't going to go down this road.
Well, we've got to go down the road. We've got to find out if he's right.
Don't forget, you called us.
Yeah, I mean, have you got something to hide here?
Well, let's put it this way. I've never had a violation while he's been in the car with me.
But that wasn't the question.
That wasn't the question. You're claiming that you're a good driver when he's not in the car. He wasn't with you in the car when you totaled the damn car, was he?
No.
And he wasn't with you in the car when you got all those speeding tickets.
Well, no, they weren't speeding tickets.
What were they?
Well, we have this thing here in Virginia where the red light takes a picture of you when you go through it.
How many of those did you get, Sue?
It's not going as I expected.
This is not going. Well, Sue.
I got 2 or 3 of them when I first moved to Virginia 5 years ago, and
seven.
I haven't gotten one since.
Okay, so you got 7 of them.
Yeah. But, okay, I think this should only cover the span of time. When I've been dating him for 4 years, and I haven't had one while I've been dating him.
Well, I mean, it could well be that he's responding to various clues that you're passing on, like going through red lights.
Well, I think it's more of a sort of tree falling in the forest, but no one can hear it sort of problem.
I think it's a clear case of denial.
So you're taking his side.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know.
I don't know, Sue. What other question?
Are you a yacker?
A yakker?
Yeah, you talk a lot. I mean, when someone's in the car with you.
You know, it's just the opposite. My boyfriend is a big talker, and I enjoy it.
People do that when they're scared. You ever sit next to someone on a plane who's afraid of flying? They don't shut up until the plane's on the ground.
But when he accuses you of being a bad driver, does he give specific instances? I mean, does he say, "My God, didn't you see that?" And you say, "See what?" Or
yeah.
He says, "My God, there's a car." Does he scream a lot?
Yeah, those phrases sound pretty familiar.
I think so. You know what?
Yes.
I think we have to talk to him.
You do?
You know his number?
I do know his number.
We're going to take you off the air for a minute. We're going to get your number to our crack assistant producer.
What's his name?
His name is Greg.
Greg.
G-R-E-G.
Yes.
All right. We'll try to get him on the line. Hold on, if you will.
Okay, thanks.
Oh, give us his number. Go ahead. Okay. Got it.
He's going to be so happy that you're siding with him.
Well, yeah. We're not siding with him. We're simply in the fact-finding stage. We call this in the legal profession discovery. Discovery! And we've discovered that you're crazy.
All right.
Hang on.
This is Greg.
Hey, Greg. This is Tom and Ray from Car Talk.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
We're doing great. You know, we have on the line with us your girlfriend, Sue.
Hey, all right.
Yeah. She claims that you've been on her case about her driving.
Well, I don't know if I've necessarily been on her case. A few friendly encouragements, I would say.
Like what? I mean, we try to probe a little bit. I mean, here's the situation.
She wants to prove to you that she's a good driver, and you seem to be unwilling to believe that in her estimation.
Well, I'd have to say that I'm probably more concerned for her safety than her actual driving technique.
What kinds of things does she do, is my question.
I mean, it's little things, you know. It's like if she's trying to pass somebody or she's coming up on somebody that's going very slowly, she'll wait until she's all the way up on them and then realize that she needs to move around them. And so we come way up on people, and then she's looking over her shoulder.
Yeah.
And there was also, I don't know if she mentioned, there was a brief little amount of time where she got a number of red light tickets.
Yes, she did happen to mention that. We had to probe a little bit to get it out of her, but then she gave it up,
She only admitted to 9 of them. First she said it was 3, and then yeah. It, you know, we finally...
Well, that's, I think all I ever heard was 3, too, so you got more than I did.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, she
But are you terrified when you get in the car? Tell the truth, because she can't hear us. She's on hold on another line.
Am I terrified?
Yeah.
Probably not. But do I have my moments of terror? Yeah.
Sure.
So you can tell us the truth. I mean, you're pretty much scared to death to get in the car.
All right. Okay.
So you.
Sue, did you hear that?
Hey, honey.
Sue, you think that you're better when Greg's not in the car?
Absolutely.
What makes you think that? I mean, we have no evidence to support that. Like, Greg just corroborated that you tailgate. I accused you of tailgating when you totaled your car.
But it's a vicious circle now.
Greg wasn't with you when you totaled your car.
We're ganging up on you, Sue.
We're ganging up on you, Sue. You're a lousy, stinking driver.
Oh, boy.
Well, I think it might be a genetic element, because my mom told me once that she always has a hard time driving with someone else in the car because she's talking.
Someone else has got nothing to do with it.
No, it has a lot to do with it. I drive better when I'm alone. At least there's no one to scream at me when I'm alone.
Exactly.
I don't believe that.
No.
You don't. My brother does not drive better when he's alone because he has admitted driving 100 miles an hour. When he's alone, he says, "Of course, I wouldn't do this when my wife was in the car."
I've never driven 100.
Yes, you have. I was with you.
See? It was...
Oh, man.
No.
I happen to think... I mean, you may be...
It was on a racetrack.
You may be worse when Greg is around, but I personally think, Sue, that you're a stinko driver. You know, I hate to say it, but the way you drive reminds me of my sister. And I wouldn't get in the car with my sister, even if it was my funeral. But I'm glad you called, and I think you just called us because you wanted to get this off your chest, Sue.
I think so, too.
And I think deep down inside, you knew that you were a bad driver.
Wasn't this a wonderful cathartic? It was a cathartic experience for you, Sue.
Yeah. Now you can admit it openly. You are a stinko driver, and it is time to shape up.
I promise to turn over a new leaf.
I hope you do.
Thanks. Thanks for being a good sport,
Sue. You're a good sport.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Greg.
Hey, thanks to you, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow.
Well, you've wasted an otherwise perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green, Carly Nix, and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our interns are Chris Cuff and Emily Mackey. And our technical spiritual menu advisor, just back from the Epcot Lobster Pot, Sauerbrot, Bergamot, Kumquat, and Panacott hit the spot is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our staff bicycle tester is Maya Sertz. Our anger management counselor is Tara Newman. Our political consultant is Mark Iavelli. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Our mother-in-law liaison is Stella Payne Diaz, who's married to our father-in-law liaison, Royal Payne Diaz, who are the proud parents of a teenage daughter, Sasha Payne Diaz, and an adopted son from Sweden, Bjorn A. Payne Diaz, and a brother in the military, Major Payne Diaz, and a two-year-old, Ariel Payne Diaz, a dog, Toto Payne Diaz, and a distant cousin in Mexico City, Jaime Royal Payne Diaz, and a recently discovered uncle from Warsaw, Zbigniew Payne Diaz.
That's the biggest family.
Yeah,
we're
gonna be accused of some kind of nepotism. We gotta hide.
No, none of them is our nephew.
Yet. And of course, the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is U. Lewis Dewey, known to the bow tie pigeons in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and Don't Drive Like My Brother.
And by the way,
yes,
don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1041, ramble through the Car Talk archives, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, scams.
Well, you don't have to be so blunt about it.
No, we're talking about scams.
Oh, right. We asked our listeners to tell us how they've been scammed by car mechanics.
We're hoping to pick up a few tips.
That's right. You'd better read it before we do. Real life stories of car repair scams. Add yours this week at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Rotten Tomato vendors set up shop outside the building whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.